it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Big House Bleachers Podcast.
Welcome to the Big House Bleachers Podcast, proud member of the Block M Podcast Network, brought to you by Fans First Sports. I'm Michael Smeltzer. I am here with my co-host and partner in crime, Matt Hartwell, and we have taken 2 weekends off because of me, but we're back. I went ahead and decided to move houses with a newborn baby, which is not always the best, wisest move, but we did it, Matt. We're in the new house. My wife and I, we got the two-year-old in the house. We got the baby here. I got the studio just kind of half set up. I'm sitting amongst boxes right now. So, Matt, I missed you, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. I mean, it just felt like a piece of me was missing the last couple weeks. But nonetheless, we are back. You, as you alluded to before the show, look like you're in the exact same house as before. You've already set up your pod corner here to replicate the old home. So I'm feeling just right at home with you, buddy, and I'm ready to get back at it.
And so what Matt is referencing, for anybody that listens to the podcast, you won't really know what he's talking about, but if you watch it on YouTube or you look at our social clips, you'll always see I have this beautiful real brick wall next to me with a Blake Corum photo, and I decided to redo the same exact studio look in the new location. So we're looking fresh. Michigan basketball has a new head coach. So finally something to get excited about when we're talking Michigan basketball. I got so excited, I threw my Jet Howard shirt on for the episode. I'll move the camera down so anybody watching can see it. We've got the Jet Howard shirt on, ready to go. And, just a little head nod. And honestly, I'm not trying to poke fun at Juwan and the you know, Howard family. Actually, it's more of a head nod to them. They're good people, you know. Now that the coaching change has been made, we can go back to loving and respecting Juwan and his family and everybody that you know, gave their life to Michigan basketball for those years. And so respect where respect is due. But Michigan goes and snags Dusty May, FAU coach. It was really a two-horse race, Louisville and Michigan. Matt, I know we've texted a little bit since the hire, but overall, how are you feeling about this head coach hire for Michigan basketball?
Well, I'm ecstatic about it, Mike. If you recall, when the news broke that Juwan was out, you and I had a little back and forth about who we thought might get the job. Dusty May was right there at the top of my list. I believe he was the first candidate that I listed at the guys that we went back and forth about. And the reason that I listed him, Mike, wasn't really, I don't know if he was my favorite, but more so he just kind of presented, I think, as the most realistic option for Michigan to land with the situation that they're in. It just seems like a really good fit. You know, they have the Beeline connection, but I think that he's definitely the type of guy that you want to bring in to try to dig them out of this hole that they're in. And to your point, you know, about the Juwan Howard exit and slander that that he's received, I think we're finally going to be able to get to see, you know, with Dusty May now at the helm, doing what he's doing, being active in the transfer portal, was some of the struggles that we saw down the stretch with Juwan Howard really all that they were cracked up to be, or was there a way around them with a little bit of extra work ethic? So I'm anxious to see what Dusty May is able to do to be able to get around some of those obstacles that Howard experienced towards the end of his tenure here, and see how he's able to kind of work his way around that and build around that Michigan's new roster going forward.
Speaking of Michigan's new roster, we don't know what the hell that's going to look like. Michigan only has a couple scholarship players right now. So Will Cheddar is back. You woke up feeling the cheesiest and decided he was going to come back to Michigan. Our boy, Will Cheddar. I think Namari has another year, right? I think Namari's coming back, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. You know, I was kind of wondering that today, kind of where some of these other guys are at that they haven't touched on. But not so sure with how all that works out with the eligibility and whatnot.
And then Durrell Brooks, the incoming freshman, is back. I think it's just those three right now. And so what that means is drastically new look Michigan team next year. And quite honestly, a drastically new look Michigan team is exactly what we need. No offense to the young man, but I let out a audible laugh when Terrence Williams declared for the NBA draft. That was a fun tweet to read, and it's just he's a you know, versatile player, and I really support him, and actually I think there's a good chance we see him back at Michigan because he didn't hire an agent, so he's still eligible. But just the idea of him trying to go up against NBA players right now is a little humorous to me. But I'm gonna ease up a little bit because I love the guy. I'm sorry, T. Will. I'm not trying to hate here. I don't personally, from my point of view, I don't believe that he's ready. So Dusty May's, rounding out his coaching staff. I think two of the three assistants have been hired. I apologize. I'm woefully underprepared to have that conversation. I haven't looked into those guys at all with the moving that I've been doing and everything. But by next week, I'll be filled in there. Anything else you want to touch, you know, as far as Michigan basketball goes? I guess the guy we want is probably John L. Davis, right? He seems to be the top transfer in the portal, and that's FAU star player. And of course, they got that 7-foot dude as well. FAU's got a handful of guys in the portal, so I'm thinking pretty soon we might start hearing some news about where these guys are going, and hopefully it's Michigan.
Absolutely. And I think it's still a little soon to tell, but, you know, Michigan's reached out to a plethora of these guys that have hit the portal. I mean, pretty much every guy that's hit the portal that's, you know, of priority or high profile by any extent, you know, Michigan's right there at the list of schools that they've spoken to since they entered the portal. So I think Michigan's right in the mix. Still a little too early to tell how it's going to shake out, but I think that Dusty May is doing everything that he has to do. You know, I heard that there was news of that big man from Yale coming on an official visit to Michigan. So, you know, I think that he's doing all the things that he needs to be doing and generating the interest that he needs to be generating. And we'll just kind of see how it shakes out, man. We'll see if that deadly admissions obstacle is there for any of these guys that want to come join the Wolverines this next season.
Yeah, you make a good point. So about that guy from Yale. And then when you're scrolling through like final fives and top sevens and top threes and stuff, Michigan is on a lot of these lists for these guys. And so what does that mean? Well, they're sure as hell not putting Michigan on that list because they spoke to Juwan Howard, you know, 6 weeks ago. It means that Dusty May is being really proactive and has some guys really interested. He has one of the best recruiting pitches from a playing basketball standpoint. From NIL, as far as NIL goes, it remains to be seen if Michigan basketball can catch up there. But imagine if you're Dusty May, you can say, listen, I've been to the tournament 2 years in a row. I went to the Final Four 2 years ago, 2 years removed from the Final Four. I've got 8 or 9 roster spots that are wide open. Just come to Michigan. You'll start. You'll play. You'll play a lot of minutes. Every other team that these guys are looking at, they got, you know, several dudes that are waiting in line to get minutes. At Michigan, you should be able to go out and land a few of these guys. And Dusty May carries himself in a way that makes me excited. He has a little bit of a, I guess it is a beeline quality about him, right? Like I don't know. He just has a good feel about him. So I'm excited to see what he does. You want to talk football?
Yeah, let's get into it, buddy.
Sweet. Michigan hires Western Michigan defensive coordinator Lou Esposito as the new D-line coach. Of course, you know, RIP Greg Scruggs, one of the shortest tenures in Michigan coaching history. Not literally RIP. He's not dead. He just had to move on after that unfortunate DUI. We wish him well. Do you know anything about this Lou Esposito guy?
Well, there's a few things that I like about him. You know, he obviously comes from Western Michigan, where he was a defensive coordinator there. And I mean, if you want to get technical, he actually comes from Memphis, where he was set to take a job with them as their co-defensive coordinator and also defensive line coach, if I'm not mistaken. So he steps away from his alma mater to join Michigan. So I like that. You know, I like the fact that he has a strong local footprint, you know, long history of coaching at Western and before that Ferris State. So very well informed on the recruiting footprint there in the state of Michigan. So all of those are things that you love to see, you know, especially coming from a defensive coordinator type role, having the knowledge that he has in that type of role down to a defensive line coach, all things that you love to see. So I think that this guy checks a lot of the boxes. From what I understand, he also has a strong local connection to a top 50 edge prospect in the state of Michigan. So, you know, I think that it's a good hire. I think for what it's worth, this Michigan coaching roster, particularly the defense, they're very tight knit. You know what I mean? Like before this guy stepped back into the fold and all that drama was unfolding with Greg Scruggs, they were letting graduate assistant LaTroy Lewis lead the defensive line group, and the defensive line guys were loving that. So I think that really at this point, the Michigan roster, they're just so tight knit that they're just going to continue to roll with the punches. They're going to get acclimated to whatever guy that Sherrone Moore brings in to coach them, and they're just going to keep it moving. And I think that's what you're seeing here with Lou Esposito, and I think they got a tremendous candidate for what it's worth. So still exciting for what's to come next season.
Can you imagine being Esposito and being like, all right, I got my new job. I've got some ideas. I've got some things I'm going to work on here. Then you walk into practice and you see Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham and you're like, oh, okay, well, I don't have to do anything. talk about born on third, man. He's just walking into the best situation a D-line coach could ever walk into. And of course, I'm not saying born on third as an insult to him. I'm just saying, like, you can't really walk into a better situation at Michigan. And so and that's exciting. It'll be interesting to see how he develops the guys behind Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham. And also, quite frankly, it'll be interesting to see how he uses those two guys, because even though they're very talented players, this Wink Martindale defense might be a little bit different than what we've seen. And so it'll be fun to see that. Man, I don't think we talked about this. Rod Moore, and obviously that news is a couple weeks old at this point, but I don't think you and I have spoken about it. Rod Moore tears his ACL in practice and will be out for the year. A lot of people thought he might actually rotate into that Mike Sanristil position. There were some rumbles that was going to be the case. Now that gives us at safety, Makari Page and who am I forgetting?
Quentin Johnson.
Quentin Johnson. Yeah, Makari Page and Quentin Johnson at safety. So now, rotational players in that secondary are becoming incredibly valuable, and you never know what the season is going to bring either. We saw last year our secondary was pretty dinged up early in the year, and so makes you a little bit nervous about some depth here. So you've got guys, Zeke Berry, Jair Hill, Jaden McBurrows, a lot of interesting names to talk about there, but obviously Will Johnson is going to start. That's pretty obvious, but how do you see that secondary kind of rounding out with the Rod Moore injury? Do you think it's a pretty big impact?
For the type of defense that Michigan is transitioning into under Wink Martindale, I think that, there might be plenty of looks thrown out there where not as many safeties are utilized on the field. You know what I mean? So I think that Wink and Michigan might be able to navigate around the injury and kind of find different looks that they can throw at some of these Big Ten offenses. But, ultimately it's a huge loss, right? You don't like to hear that Rod Moore has an ACL injury by any stretch of the imagination. Now, for what it's worth, football has come a long way with how it deals with this type of injury. And hopefully he can find his way back to the team, maybe for some of Michigan's more critical moments down the stretch. But, you take that with a grain of salt, because that's not always, if rarely, the case. But I think that Michigan is still, uniquely in a position to handle what's been thrown at it with Rod Moore. You get Quentin Johnson coming back, which is, about as good as you can get for losing Rod Moore, to still have him and Makari Page, stepping into the forefront. Zeke Berry, I know he's a big guy on your list. I think that it also presents him a unique opportunity. As far as the nickel goes, I don't really put too much stock into that, just because I think that there may be some other plans for that position, and we'll discuss that in our camp storylines here in a few that we're going to be talking about. But I think there might be other plans to fill that spot. But so I don't think there's too much smoke or too much love lost for Rod Moore as far as the nickel position is concerned. But yeah, I think Michigan will still be able to handle it just fine.
Yeah, we know that nickel spot was so crucial with Mike Sanristil last year. And then the Rod Moore thing is interesting because it makes you wonder. So yes, an ACL, he tore it early enough in spring ball to where I guess he could find his way back to the field. But if you're Rod Moore, you're really trying to improve your draft grade, right? Because he is a draftable player. Like, it's not we're not talking about a guy that has pipe dreams of making it to the NFL. Like, this dude can play at the next level for sure. And so the question becomes, do you come back for a game or two at the end of the year, or do you just try to maybe come back for another year at Michigan to improve your draft stock? So like maybe he sits out the whole year and comes back, or do you say, screw this, I'm not getting hurt again, and just sit out and then enter the NFL draft? And so there's three distinct options there. Obviously, the option of coming back is completely contingent upon his health. We don't know how fast this thing's going to heal. We don't know if he's even going to be ready, but it would make for a great Michigan storyline to have him come back late. Can you imagine him coming in and sealing the deal against Ohio State? Like, that would just be bonkers, dude. It would also make a pretty good storyline to get him back next season, you know, that maybe that would provide some depth next year when a guy like Will Johnson is sure to be gone, and that secondary might need a boost. So prayers for Rod Moore. Just a great guy, great player, really exciting dude to watch. So I'm sure we haven't seen him play his last football. I mean, that he will be back in some capacity. Let's get into the spring game. So, you know, you're talking about, I want to turn on the spring game and watch it on TV. In the past, you're like, okay, how do I subscribe for like Big Ten Plus, or like what tertiary part of Peacock is this game going to be on, you know? But this year they're actually televising the spring game on Fox. And so I'm pretty sure Joel Klatt is doing the game, if I'm not mistaken. Is it Joel and Gus, or Joel and Gus doing the spring game? So
I don't know if it's Gus, but I do believe Joel is calling the game. So I would imagine it's Joel and Gus.
We can't have Gus at a spring game, dude. As much as I love Gus, we can't. We just got to save that energy for later in the year. But either way, that's absolutely amazing. I'll actually be there. I'm making a habit of going up to the spring game by myself every year. That's like kind of my getaway trip. I tell my wife every year, like, I'm going to fly up to the spring game for one night, watch the game and come back. That's how I got eyes on a few key players last year, that like Zeke Berry, for instance, really caught my eye last year. Now, granted, he didn't do shit in the season, but I still believe, because I got eyes on him early last year, I still believe that he's cut out to make some plays. And then, of course, you got the guys that everybody saw jump off the screen, the Benjamin Hall and Peyton O'Leary, and the guys that really stood out. And then last year's spring game, you got to remember, that's also when we saw Amarion Walker get exposed a little bit, and we all came back down to earth on him, because we all thought Amarion was, you know, possibly going to be the next Mike Sanristil jumping onto the defensive side of the ball. But anyway, it's on Fox. That should be exciting. Any thoughts there?
I mean, I'm pumped, man. Like you said, it's never been like very readily accessible to just flip on the spring game, you know. Big Ten Network, I live in Florida, so Big Ten Network isn't something that like I've always had every single year of my life. So I'm pumped to be able to just wake up that day, flip on the spring game, see what's happening with the defending national champions.
God, that sounds so good to say. I mean, we are the defending national champs. And I've been looking at this, and if that quarterback position can shape up a little bit, Michigan is one of a handful of teams that could make a run at it. Like, it's a very legitimate possibility. So let's get into some storylines, because I've been kind of out of pocket the last 2 weeks. I know you've been staying pretty plugged into some of these spring ball storylines. So I'm going to let you present five of the most interesting stories coming out of spring camp. And of course, I'll give you my comments and reactions after your lead. So jump right in, my friend. What are your five favorite stories right now?
Yeah, man, this is always one of the most exciting points of the year for me in terms of Michigan football. I know for some that aren't like in the media, or some that, you know, take the off season just off of football in general, paying attention to football, things like that, they can't get into this kind of stuff. But for guys like you and I who are around the clock obsessed about Michigan football, this is the perfect time to kind of get all of the gritty little details that you've been wondering about since the last season ended. So I put a lot of these tidbits together from some of the media availabilities over the last few weeks. And probably one of the things that I thought was most interesting was word of Eno Etta switching inside the defensive line. And, you know, Mike, stop me if I'm gushing too much, but I think that just a four-man rotation of Kenneth Grant, Mason Graham, Rayshon Benny, Eno Etta just sounds diabolical for opposing offenses.
Yeah, that's interesting. It sounds like, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it sounds like they really plan on letting Josiah Stewart and Derek Moore just like live on the edges. I think we might not see that rotation like we saw last year. That's interesting though. I actually missed that. I didn't see that. So this is the first I've heard of Eno coming on into the inside. I can't really remember exactly like height and weight, like what his tangibles are. He did always seem a little bit bigger, right? And so maybe that's a good spot for him. It is pretty sexy having those four guys in the inside, like that interior.
He comes in at a pretty astounding 6'5", 295. So, I mean, that's pretty exciting. According to some of the other defensive linemen, some of the other little nuggets that have been coming out of spring are that I think TJ Guy and Cam Brandt are two of the likely names, I think, to kind of cycle in at edge. So I don't know if they're saying that it's likely that we'll probably just see Eno on the inside going forward. The exact quote came from Kenneth Grant saying he's a very twitchy and powerful dude. He's just taking it all in. You know, he used to play edge, but doing some work, doing the inside stuff, he's doing a really good job and just trying to... we're just trying to meet him there, just trying to teach him as much so he can adapt really quick. So it's exciting. You know, he was obviously one of Michigan's more highly touted guys entering his recruitment. So I think wherever they put him, if they can find a place for him, you know, he's one of the younger guys. So if they're able to find a place for him at this juncture, you'd have to imagine that it's going pretty well for the youngster so far.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to forget, even with KG and Graham in the middle there, it's easy to forget that there's a pretty big void walking into the NFL right now. Chris Jenkins left some big shoes to fill in the inside. So maybe Eno can slide up into, you know, his role or you know, at least start working towards that. That's exciting stuff. Michigan's defense and defensive line in particular is sure to be one of the best in all of college football. So I'm excited to see that. What else you got for me?
I'm going to keep it still on the depth chart talk. I know a lot of people have been wondering about that kind of stuff. And you and I have already alluded to this position on the show already. And that is the nickel position. Who's going to take over for Mikey Sainristil coming into this next season? And Mike, according to the rumblings out of spring ball, you know, I had mentioned this guy last season as a potential, replacement for Mikey is the right word, but a potential, you know, rotational piece at that position last season. And that's Jaden McBurrows. I think that guy, you know, he's very close in size with Mikey. Made a lot of the same maneuvers, a lot of the same plays last year, you know, against Michigan State. You saw him flash. I think he's got a lot of potential to fill nicely into that position if you're looking to have that role do a lot of the same things that Mikey did last year. But Makari Page referenced it. He specifically noted McBurrows and also Cody Jones as potential candidates to fill in at that role. He said, Jaden McBurrows, Cody Jones, they're definitely competing for that right now. They could step up and do that job very well, I believe. So there you have it. I think those are your two guys that are going to compete. You know, they've had a lot of game experience over the last couple of years. So I think really you couldn't go wrong with having McBurrows slide in there if that's the direction that you go after spring.
You know, when he hit the field last year, he looked good. He just really didn't get as many snaps as, you know, as many snaps as we thought he would get, but actually he did. He got about what we thought he would, which was not many.
I believe of what Michigan has in their returning production, he's taken the second most snaps of any corner on Michigan's roster.
Right. And which is not many, right? It's like, you know, you got Will Johnson coming back. And then after that, we got some shoes to fill, especially with Rod Moore out. So,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I like Jaden McBurrows there. Cody Jones needs a, we got it. I think he just falls victim to the boring name syndrome, man. He needs a cooler name. Like it's a good name, Cody Jones. Good. That's a solid name. It's just, it's easy to, we need a nickname. So Matt, I'm tasking you with that. Like after the spring game or week one or something, it has to be Cody something Jones. That way we can really, it sticks out and we can remember it. Let's work on that. Maybe we'll get Andy and Jared over on the Out of the Blue Pod to think of something for us.
I'm with that.
All right. What else you got? I don't have any other names to throw in the mix. I was going to say Jaden McBurrows when you first brought it up, and it sounds like that's what they're thinking.
Let's talk Wink, right? Because I think when the news broke of Wink Martindale being hired, it was reported to a certain extent that Michigan was going to be getting like the exact same defensive system, that Wink was going to be running the same scheme as Jesse Minter and Mike McDonald. And, you know, for those that know Wink, for those that have done any form of research on Wink, they know that that's not necessarily Wink's MO. Now, you know, the structure, the bones of the defense may be very similar to an extent, but I think that it's going to be a little bit more different than what people think. And I think our good friend Makari Page affirmed that a little bit in media availabilities over the last couple weeks. He told the media that it's totally different. It's a totally different defense than what the Wolverines have run in the past. And I think what the quote was exactly by Page was, it's totally different. It's totally different. Everything's different. The plays, his mindset, not mindset, but philosophy, I guess. And, you know, at first reading that, I was a little bit concerned, you know, as a fan of the program. You know, you certainly don't want to mess with it too much. But then I think Mason Graham came in that same day and was asked, you know, about Page's comments, and he kind of course corrected a little bit. Graham said, I mean, everyone just has their mix, their splash of their little ideas that they bring. So I feel like Coach Minter and Coach Wink have different philosophies still within the same structure, but they just have their little differences on defense. So, I mean, I think it needs to be, you know, talked about, Mike, because I don't think that Michigan is going to be getting something that's exactly the same as what they've run the past couple of years. And I think that it's something that they should be prepared for. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, that's okay. And you expect a new person is going to bring new ideas. It makes me nervous. It concerns me. I mean, we had the best defense in the country, you know? And obviously, Mike McDonald and Jesse Minter, they're coaching in the NFL now for a reason. They have this aura about them, right? They have this vibe. It's like, we're young, we're sharper than everybody else. We're a step ahead of everybody else. It's like, we know what guys have been doing the last 10 or 20 years. We're taking it to the next level. Like they had, you know, I think it might just be their youth, but they have that like slight edge to them. And then Wink Martindale comes in and, you know, let me just put it this way. He's in a different age bracket, right? Which is fine. He's a great coach, but it makes me a little bit nervous that he's more likely to be set in his ways. And maybe he's one of the guys that's set in his ways that Jesse Minter and Mike McDonald are taking advantage of, and you know, like guys like that. And so, God, I'm nervous, man. I'm going to be honest. I'm nervous because, yeah, can he go out there and just beat the shit out of Fresno State? I'm sure. But when Texas comes into town week two, that's when we're going to find out what Wink Martindale's defense is made of. And I want to be clear. I'm not hating on the guy. I'm not even doubting the guy. I'm just saying that makes me a little bit nervous. You know, changing everything on a defense that was the best in the country. Just nerves.
You know, I'm right there with you. When I first heard those comments, it raised some red flags. You know, I think that was kind of the primary driving force behind all of Michigan fandom when it came to who was being hired as Michigan's defensive coordinator. I think the general consensus was, you know, most Michigan fans are fine as long as whoever was stepping in was all about this same scheme and structure that we upheld over the last two seasons. Now, that being said, you know, there's also been a ton of talk out of camp. As you know, like I do a lot of listening to In the Trenches. I do a weekly article recap on that podcast. From what I hear out of all of these players' mouths in media availabilities and on In the Trenches and all that, they've got nothing but great things to say about Wink and his philosophy and, you know, what he brings to the program. So I'm inclined to believe in what's going on right now with Michigan. I don't think there's any reason to panic because of Paige's or Graham's comments or anything like that. I think that, you know, at some point you're going to be forced to change, and it'll just be interesting to see how Michigan is able to navigate the changes that they've experienced this offseason and the coming 2024 season.
Well, and at the end of the day, this is Sharon Moore's team. And so if Sharon sees something that he doesn't like on either side of the ball, it's on him to make sure that the adjustments get made. And I do have faith in Sharon Moore. And, you know, this was one of Sharon Moore's first big hires. And so time will tell. I think that was three stories. You got two more for me?
Yeah, let's go to Orgy. I've been dying to talk about my guy, Orgy. We've got a storyline about him. Alex Orgy has been one of the first quarterbacks mentioned by nearly everyone that's been asked about the position so far through media availability. That's not necessarily the storyline. This one comes from a quote from Josiah Stewart directly addressing the allegations by social media, by the general public outside of Michigan media, that Alex Orgy can't throw. And Josiah Stewart refutes that. He says of Orgy, obviously, he has great legs. He can escape the pocket, but believe it or not, he can throw. People who might not believe that, social media and whatnot, saying that he can't throw, but he can throw, and I've seen him throw a dot down the field. And it's worse when you just almost get there and he gets the ball off. It's a touchdown. So Josiah Stewart adamantly going to bat for my guy, Alex Orgy. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he can throw, but like Joe Milton can throw. Here's the thing, dude. I am all in on Alex Orji. I want that to be the guy. I want him to be great. But it's not about whether or not he's got the arm talent. It's all about what does he see when he walks up to the line of scrimmage, you know, pre-snap? What does he do post-snap in the first 1-2 minutes? Does he always escape the pocket and try to run? Can he shift and have pocket presence and look up the field and still make a play with his arm? Can he read the defense? Can he read the secondary? Can he lead a receiver? Can he put it on a back shoulder when it needs to be put on a back shoulder? You know,
yes.
Can
he pull the up? Answer is yes, Mike.
All right. Well, I don't know that yet. Yeah, I mean, you can't blame me for wondering because, you know, all we got to see in the national championship and against Ohio State were his legs. And so I'm with you, Matt. Like, I believe it's possible. You know,
you just need, you Harbaugh, don't need to see Orji. You just need to believe in Orji, Mike.
Fuck it. I fuck it, which is exactly what everybody says at the beginning of an orgy, right? Let's do this. So there we go. I'm all in, man.
I love it. I love it. Orji QB1. We're rolling with it. Let's go to the big guys, right? Because on all of my posts on Twitter, everybody's asking, what's the status of the O-line? What's going on with that? So as I see it, right, and this is just, I think, how it's obviously going to trickle in around this last position. Greg Crippen at center. We've been seeing a lot of Raheem Anderson, though, also in a lot of these photos that Michigan's been putting out. So keep an eye on that. I don't think Big Crip is in danger of losing his long-awaited starting role just yet, but you never know. Raheem's getting some run, so keep an eye on that. But Greg Crippen, Josh Prebe, and Gio at guard, right? I don't think you're getting any other two guards on this Michigan starting line than those two. Gio has been waiting. He's been long-awaited to join the realm of the starting offensive line. So I think those two are set right there. Miles Hinton, a load of starting snaps last year. I don't think there's any way that he gets beat out for that left tackle role, if not one of the tackle roles, right? So Miles Hinton, the smoke out of camp is that Andrew Jeffrey, competing for that last tackle spot. Grant Newsom was quoted saying, Andrew Gentry and Jeff Percy are both playing well and competing back and forth there. Happy to see some of the young tackles too. And then he kind of went on to talk about Evan Link and Blake Frazier, but he kind of confirmed, you know, that last tackle spot is a battle between Jeff Percy and Andrew Gentry, who have both played plenty of backup minutes in that role so far. So what do you think, Percy or Gentry?
Jeff Percy was a name that interested me all year last year as a guy that was maybe falling victim to the depth of the team, right? We just had such a deep offensive line. Every time I kept looking at like the two deep, Percy was a guy that always stuck out to me. I can't remember when or why, but he started a game like 2 years ago or something. Don't quote me on that, but I feel like Percy got considerable minutes or started a game at some point.
I believe he did. I believe he did start one game at tackle at one point.
Yeah. And so, but then again, Gentry, I mean, that's a Michigan name right there, man. We love to get him involved. Raheem Anderson, I'm glad you brought him up. Because we still haven't talked about it. That song that he released that I sent you on Spotify, man, that was kind of a banger, dude. Raheem Anderson, it went pretty hard.
It was. If our listeners haven't heard of Raheem Anderson's rap career, they should check it out after the show. The kid's got bars. I'll admit it.
I'm gonna play it on the pod one of these days. I'm not prepared. I don't have it pulled up right now, but we're gonna jam some heme on the pod at some point, but I don't know, man. Your guess is as good as mine. Let me see if I can do this. So, Crippen in the middle. I think that goes without saying. I think it's his time. I think it's Crippen's time. Gio, Pribe. Pribe is the dude from Northwestern, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Those are your three in the middle. I agree with you there. And then, yeah, I guess I'm going to say Miles Hinton and Jeff Percy is what I see this line being. But, you know, every year there's some rotating that goes on. That's a tough position to play. Guys get banged up. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see this new look offensive line. For as amazing as Keegan and Zinter were, it's just, it's kind of fun to get new guys involved, you know? It's kind of fun to see some new faces in there. So
my guy, I'm talking about the offensive line. I can't even believe it.
if you knew how tired I am after all this moving I've been doing, man. But
Andy and Jared would be ashamed.
I know. Well, I apologize to all Michigan faithful out there. The offensive line is what gets us the most pumped up, but I'll be pumped next week. We got our spring draft coming next week. And so I'm taking you down
this time, baby.
I'll be excited. We got to see. I think Jared and Andy do a spring draft on their pod as well. Maybe we'll either, you know, do some crossover or something like that. We'll talk to them this week. But any other quick hitters on the way out today? We're bumping up against our time. That was a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I got one more that we can mention. And this one's about tight end number two. There's talk of a lot of Marlon Klein, a lot of positive buzz going into spring so far about what he's been bringing to the table. This one comes at the hand of his counterpart, Colston Loveland. He's not the only guy that said some good things about him. You know, Grant Newsom, Steve Kasula raving about Marlon Klein so far, but I pulled this quote from Colston Loveland because I found it the most interesting. Marlon is the fastest tight end, probably the strongest tight end, biggest tight end, so he's got it all there. He's done a great job this spring of taking that next step, actually starting real playing time, and he's just embraced it and done a damn good job in practice. So, you know, I've heard a lot of good things from Steve Kasula. He compared him to a young Luke Schoonmaker. A lot of positive buzz about Klein so far. Got several snaps last year to kind of help raise him up a little bit in the Michigan offense. So Marlon Klein, are we taking him or are we still searching for a transfer tight end to fill that tight end number two role? Or is it Klein time?
I think it could be Klein time. The guy's name is escaping me. There's a dude that's been on the team the last 2 years. What is his name? It's not Hogan Hansen. Who are the other tight ends on the team? I can't.
Hibner transferred.
Yeah, not Hibner. What is that guy's name? Anyway, it's for whatever reason, I'm having a brain fart. I can't think of it. There's one other guy that I'd love to see get involved. And then also you got Brady Prescorn coming in, which is, you know, that's kind of fun. But he probably needs a little bit of time to develop. So, yeah, man, I say
Colston,
it's fine time.
Also, I don't know if it was Colston. I don't remember who it was, but somebody was raving about Prescorn and Hansen, saying that those two guys are like in the making as far as future Michigan greatness. So I think we've got some good guys stepping into the fold with Prescorn and Hansen, even after Loveland is long gone. So a lot of promise there.
Yeah, but it's going to be all Loveland through the air. The question is, can we get some, you know, can we get an AJ Barner type out there to catch a few balls and do some blocking downfield? So, I'm going to spend a little bit more time looking at the spring roster this week before our spring draft.
Oh, tight ends. Josh Beetham, my guy. Don't forget about the Beetham.
There you go. There's one other dude. I just can't think of his name. I'll text you after the show. I'm sure there's somebody listening right now that's just screaming it right now. I spoke to him last spring game, and I can't for the life of me.
I mean, Max Bredesen, right, but
no. Yeah, maybe I'm tripping. I'll text you in a little bit. But anyway, that is the Big House Bleachers podcast. reminder. So Michigan football and Michigan basketball each have a new head coach. If you want to get some new gear and support the new coaches, head on over to WolverineChronicle.com/shop. I'll throw a link in the description. You can get 20% off by using promo code BHB20. We've got an awesome Smash shirt, the Smash collection for Coach Sherrone Moore. And then just this week, we came out with the Maize and Blue for Dusty May. That's Maize spelled M-A-Y-S, Maize and Blue, if you want to support Dusty May. So go to WolverineChronicle.com/shop or just hit the link in the description. That is Matt Hartwell. I am Michael Smeltzer, and that was the Big House Bleachers podcast. As always, go blue.
Go blue.